Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These episodes come from a previous podcast channel that I used to have, Zayla Food. Zayla means soul, but in German. So soul food, but in German and English. I don't want to lose these episodes as I've dismantled Zayla Food and now have the Soulful Side of Life. These are still conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life and how they have overcome situations. I hope these episodes will inspire your life in some way. So enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life with Ali Portee. So, welcome to London, aye? All right, so I don't have a British accent and the British would really be upset with me because that was a terrible accent. But this is episode number 3 with country music band Lanco. This is an interview from March's C2C Festival here at the London O2 Arena. I sat down with the 5-guy band to talk about music, faith, performing in the UK, and humility. These guys were great. It was like being home in the American South when talking to them. Their music is rooted in the Southern storytelling of country music with a modern punch of rock and roll. They're the only country music band to achieve a platinum single prior to a debut album release, with the second week number being a number one. That song was Greatest Love Story. Their story begins in the small towns where all 5 bandmates, lead vocalist Brandon Lancaster, bassist Chandler Baldwin, multi-instrumentalist Jared Hampton, drummer Trip Howell, and lead guitarist Eric Steedley were raised. After they crossed paths in Nashville during their early 20s, Lanco bonded over that shared Southern adolescence while hoping to build a new life in a bigger city. So strap in and get ready for a great interview with country music band Lanco. And so I've interviewed some country music artists before, but it's nice to be able to do a one-on-one with you guys.
Yeah.
And when I was driving some things up from South Carolina back in September to D.C., your song, Greatest Love Story, just kept playing on the radio. So it's nice to be in front of all of y'all.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in. How does it feel to be in the UK? And is it y'all's first time here performing?
It's definitely our first time performing. It's most of our first time being here. I think Brandon's been to Ireland before, but
yeah, I've been to Ireland, Scotland, Italy, which is not UK. But I've been over to Europe before, but that was years ago. We've never been over here as a band, so we're excited. We've had a fan base over here for a few years now. We've had people tweeting at us and hitting us up that they're from here and they wish we'd get over here. So it's good to finally get over here and be able to play a few shows.
Yeah, and do y'all feel like you're coming home in the sense the fiddle and the guitar, like these sounds I feel come from this part of the world?
Yeah.
First and foremost. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that if you look at the origins of country music, coming from hillbilly music, coming from Appalachian music, which is all Irish, a lot of Irish immigrants, which is the banjo and the mandolin, a lot of those instruments. So it definitely, it's definitely a sound that has evolved over time, but its roots and its origins definitely, come from Europe. And so it's cool to be back here. And I mean, it's a lot of time in between then and now, but it's cool to come back to, the origin, a lot of country music's traditional sounds.
Yeah. And what do you have to say to your UK fans and fans that might maybe coming from other parts of Europe? Because in Germany, it's growing a little bit, a grassroots kind of country. scene there. So how does that make y'all feel, and what do you have to say to your European fans?
Yeah, I think that I think that's one special thing about country music that kind of makes it stand out is, you know, it obviously really developed like the huge massive following in the United States, but I think a lot of the themes and a lot of the storytelling aspects that you can find in country music can cross all borders and can relate to people of all different origins and nationalities. And so I think that it's really cool that music that's important to us and that we kind of grew up on and the kind of theme of it all has impacted people over here, that they're investing in it, and they're, you know, it's important. It's just, it's cool because it kind of shows they can kind of cross all borders, and that's I really believe that music should bring people together, and the fact that we're, you know, part of a genre that's continuing to do that and now doing that overseas is really special for sure.
Yeah,
it's cool too, because a lot of the songs that we put out are songs that are about our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's cool that people in different places can relate, you know, to what we do or doing the same things, just, you know, over here.
Do you think that's why country music is relevant and resonates with a lot of people, because of that storytelling?
For sure. You know, it's even if it's not your story, there's always, you know, it's like watching a movie. It might not be your story, but you can relate to somebody, a character in that movie. Yeah, I do believe that.
Yeah. Why country music? Why not another genre like rock or...
Yeah. I think that when you start out playing music, you're kind of faced with that. You know, you start... Mm-hmm. Like, I started playing piano when I was 4 and started playing guitar when I was 9 and started writing songs when I was a teenager. And what you find is that, all right, you now have these tools and what are you going to build with it? You know, what's... If you're building a house, like, you can build any kind of house. What do you want to build? And when you take these tools, for us as a band, we all have different tools that we use to create music. And, you know, kind of, it's a blank canvas. You can do anything you want. But I think that when you're an artist, you should create art that is as honest as possible and that is your worldview and your perspective as much as possible, because that's ultimately the thing that you have going for you. There's a lot of people out there that may play guitar or write songs, but they didn't grow up in Smyrna, Tennessee, so I can talk about that. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are in bands, but they didn't live in Nashville like we did. They didn't play a lot of those places that we did. So we can give a world view that's unique to us, but also can relate to a lot of people. But I think that country music was just something. We all have different influences. We all like rock music. We like pop music. We like all kinds of things. But our home base, we just knew that the place that we kind of all got along and something we all agreed on was country music. We grew up in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Georgia, mm-hmm. So that was a very relevant thing growing up in those places, was country music. And I grew up in Nashville, so for sure for me, I grew up around that culture. So I think that it's just our home base, because it's something that we understand the most and the best, and that we can give the most honest worldview on.
And did y'all, I think some of y'all were in college bands, right? Were they rock bands or country bands? Or when y'all came together, did y'all decide, well, obviously you knew you wanted to be a country band, but from your background experience, do you feel that country music, or from your rock experience and your college band experience, do you feel that's what y'all wanted to do?
We were all in different bands. Like, yeah. I've been in bands my whole life, and I've been in all kinds of bands. That's kind of what helped lead the self-discovery of country music, was in high school, I was in like some pretty heavy rock bands, and it never felt that honest. Like, even the guys in my band, I felt like they were way more into it than I was, and it was more honest to them than it was to me. And then in college, I was in more like a folk, like Americana rock band, and so I really loved I love Bob Dylan and I love James Taylor, and I loved kind of the way that I love their phrasing, and I love the sonic aspects of an acoustic guitar and telling a story. So I really got into that, but then I love high energy of shows, so I love that aspect of rock music. So I was more like an Americana folk rock type band in college, but then in doing that, just kept writing country songs. So for me, it was like, well, I'm writing country songs for this like Americana rock band, and then no one else in my band at the time was really like wanting to be in a country band, and so that was a big thing of finding these guys was
Because y'all knew y'all wanted to be on a country band too, or?
Well, like I said, I think the thing is we've all played a lot of different kinds of music, you know, and I used to play around. I used to go in the studio a lot and play for this guy or this guy, you know, and we required different things, you know, styles to play, but the thing that feels most honest when you are from a rural area, you know, in the States and the South is that storytelling of country music is just real life, and it's always been around you, you know, and really part of your culture, and you relate so closely to it that, you know, if you're going to be up on a stage playing music and connecting with people, the most honest thing that truly feels like country. So I think even whether we realized it or not, you know, that was a thing that we'd find our place in it.
Trying to think back to when we made the record, because like when we started working on this project and making this record, we didn't say, all right, we're going to start a country band.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of just started making music that was honest to us, and when we went to the studio, it was like, let's make a record and see where it lands, and thankfully country adopted it, you know. Country said, you know, we were able to find our path in country music, but there was never like we just kind of made honest music, and that's where it landed.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, we definitely never like boxed ourselves in. It's like, if you're like in Nashville, there's a difference between like the rock scene, the country world, blah blah, but We played a country venue, we played a rock club, we played everywhere, and it definitely was that thing where you may like land like, all right, yeah, country band, like we'll play this country bar, but you can't, when you're an artist, someone, it's kind of disheartening to limit yourself to anything. Like, you should make the music that you want to make, the way that Hank Sr. did. He didn't even know what country music was. He just was making that music, and people started calling it country music, you know. it's just the music I make. And even with us, it's kind of always been the attitude. It's like, I remember, like, we have banjo in, like, a lot of our music, but there are, like, songs that had some of like, why don't you put a banjo in it to make it more country? It's like, the banjo doesn't dictate whether it's country.
Like,
I'm from Tennessee. I just make music. You can call it country. You don't have to. You can do, you know, if it is country, good for you. If it's not, then that's all right. Like, we just make music that we like to make. It does fall into the country category for multiple different reasons, but it's not premeditated. We just make music, we like making it.
And when you met Mr. Joyce, is that when it became country?
Mm-hmm.
And when, okay, y'all are just still making
he's
music.
He's more like a rock dude. Okay.
Yeah, he's produced Eric Church and
right.
Little Big Town Carry, but he's also produced like Cage the Elephant and Fiddler and like a bunch of serious rock bands. And Jay is absolutely anti doing anything because you should have to do it. It's do whatever you want to do and forget everyone else.
I see.
Like, just make the music you like making. And so Jay's role was really just making sure everything was tightened up, making sure that we were reaching our maximum potential, making sure that we were thinking outside the box. It was like, I'm gonna play this chord. Well, why? You know, what if you did it this way? What if you played it on this guitar? What if you did it with this different guitar pedal? What if you sang it this way instead of just singing it like you were singing it? And so Jay's thing was more just like expanding our mind, honestly, and it kind of just pushing us to be the best version of ourselves that we could be. But Jay is definitely Jay doesn't care about anything when it comes to labels or categories. Like, so he just gets in there and starts making music, and you kind of find when you're in the studio with him, you start finding that you become like that. You just start doing whatever you want to do. If there's kind of no rules, and then you're left with music, and you start listening to it, and you're like, man, that got cool, that got cool.
Yeah,
the thing is,
we're putting out music that's brutally honest. It's like, if you listen to our record, you know us, that's as honest as we can be, even stylistically. It wasn't, like, there was never a thing where it was like, we're going to be a country band. It was just like,
doing what you love.
Yeah, we made a record, and that's just kind of us, luckily. Country in the States especially adopted it.
I would say if you're looking for a spot, you know, or moment that defined it as being in country, I mean, you just look at the songs, you know, the lyrical content. I mean, it's they're just, we can try to put country in a box of sounds and different styles, but that's just going to change. It always has, but it's really just honest music about real people's lives, you know, and that's what our songs are. And so
I think too, like, even the Greatest Love Story, like, there's a lyric, you're riding shotgun in my car. And I had like multiple songwriters in Nashville tell me I should change it to truck. And I remember being like, says who?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I had a truck for like 2 days, and I got rid of it because I couldn't afford the gas, so I drove a car, and I drove down the river with my girlfriend. Like, you don't really get to dictate, like, if one word in the song makes it, like, not country enough, then where are you from again anyway?
Yeah, and most Southerners...
Or how much money do you have?
Yeah, I think most high school kids have cars, actually, if you look at the high school parking lot.
A truck is, like, 30 grand minimum these days.
That's true. So, for each of y'all, what is a song in your iPods or whatever you have, or your iPhones, that's not a country artist that you kind of can't stop listening to? What other artists are influencing y'all?
Apparently, because there's so
many. There's a lot.
Yeah, well, what's one song you can't stop listening to that? Yeah.
I've been listening to this band called The Dig,
mm-hmm.
and they have the song Tied Up, which you showed me.
I literally was about to say that, and you stuck.
For me, I go in and out of this, like, listening to this band, and it's like a mood that's just set. It's not just one song, it's just their whole, like, I got really into it like 2 years ago, didn't listen to it for a couple, now I'm like back into all their records again, which is Dawes. I like have been on a Dawes kick. It's also like the best, like, getting ready in the morning music, like, turn on my phone and like start playing that record, and I know, like, I get ready in like 5 songs time, and it's
I don't know if what I've been listening to currently is going to influence our sound. It'd be funny, but I've been on a Bob Marley and the Wailers kick, listening to the record Exodus. Like, I literally can't stop. I've listened to it like 800 times.
We're also going to Mexico next week.
So. Yeah.
The record I've been killing lately, I just love, like, the whole record through and through, is Anna of the North.
Okay.
I'm
really into that kind of, like, I don't even know what you call it, like, electro pop, but just those sounds are.
Yeah. We also love Kings of Leon, Come Around Sundown. It's a good record too.
Yeah, so those aren't necessarily songs.
We consume a lot of music, and it bridges a lot of genres gaps. I mean, we still listen to country a lot as well, and we love keeping up with new records that come out, but I think, you know, we also want to be, like, aware of new sounds and of new songs, and, you know, just be current, so...
Yeah, and stay relevant in that aspect. Okay. And how have y'all been able to build a community around your music and not just a fan base?
Yeah. I think, too, that kind of goes back to the being honest thing. I think that when you're releasing music, the way that people, they don't know you, they've never met you. Mm-hmm. The only thing they know about you is the songs, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that it kind of goes back to, like, when we were starting playing these bars, playing house shows. A lot of times, I'd say fans came out. It wasn't really fans. It was like our friends coming out, like our girlfriends. And so if it wasn't honest, it would be weird because they wouldn't understand. They'd be like, wait, did you just say that you were dot, 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 dot? You've never done that. And so it had to be real. But what we learned through that was that when we go out now in all these random places in the United States and then even go overseas and play internationally, when people are singing the lyrics back to you, it means that in that moment you have that song in common. Something about that song impacted them. Something about those lyrics. I think the more honest your lyrics are, the more that it's not just they like it because it's catchy or it's this or that. It's like they're really relating to that. And then our music, we try to reflect who we are as people as much as we can, so that when people are listening to our music and they're singing it back to us, it's not just music, it's a connecting point, it's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of creates a community, because it's a lot of people that have something in common, that have these lyrics in common, this music in common, as opposed to, you know, it's just like they have one catchy song that I just want, it doesn't relate to me at all, but I like to sing it. And so I think that it just is, through the authenticity of our music, we've found that people enjoy our music and listen to our music on kind of a deeper level that's a little more community-based.
And it's not
fan base.
It's not just something that we have in common with that one person in the audience and they have in common with us. It's that person in the audience has these songs in common with all the other strangers they're sitting next to. Which is like the definition of community. So.
And how do you go about songwriting? Like, I'm just amazed at how country artists are able to write things that anyone can relate to, probably in any part, most any part of the world. Like, it's a gift. It has to be a gift. How are y'all able to put words together that are relatable?
Magic. No.
Do you use your own life experiences or friends' life experiences?
I think people are different. For me, my writing process, I actually get weird about what the writing process is, because sometimes with songwriters, there's like a thing where like professional songwriters, like you have to turn in a certain amount of songs. Like you have a quota, I mean, it's a job.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can get in this like weird cycle of just like, let's just write a song to write a song. And it's like, for me though, writing a song is difficult. It takes hours and it's a lot of brain power. So I have to like feel good about it. I have to feel inspired. So for me, I like all of us do this, but like big thing songwriters do is pulling lines out of conversation. So if we're talking about something, if last night we're talking about it, somebody's like, ooh, what you just said, that's a line of the song. And you write that down, and then you create a song around that, and you talk about, man, what were we thinking about when I said that? If that's not there, if there's not like already a line, I've sat down in rooms and literally been like, y'all in relationships? Or y'all, like, what's the last fight you and your girlfriend got about? What was it about? You know, what was... And they may be like, you know, she said that, like, she's never going to let me down. That's cool. She's never going to let me down. Like, that's...
Yeah, and you start building on top.
Yeah, and so you just find something real to latch on to, and then you just build an idea around that. But yeah, I like having conversations, and then in that conversation, finding something that sounds like a song title.
I see.
That relates to our life.
Yeah, that also relates to our life.
Currently going on with us.
I see. How do y'all stay humble as you're up and coming in this business?
Travel to different countries where no one knows you.
Yeah, and I mean, I think also being involved, like we're going on tour this year with Dierks Bentley and Brothers mm-hmm. Osborne, and we always have that view of like, we look up to people and we are still fans of music. And so you look at Dierks Bentley and the amazing career and the amazing entertainer and the amazing records he puts out, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, we have something to look up to, and the brothers with their vibe and their energy, it's like, man, we still have a long way to go. And it's I don't know, if you get a big head when you look at those records and those artists, it's that's a tough spot.
All of us came from working day jobs too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's, you know, when we were first starting the band, we would just get together and rehearse and play shows when we could, but you know, every day I was working at Starbucks and Chip was working at a carpet warehouse, and so like, and for a while, a lot of us were doing like, we were doing it at the same time too.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's no way that you can't think back on those times and look at where we are now, and just how blessed we are to be able to play music for a living and not be humbled by that thought.
Totally. Mm-hmm. You just think like, constantly keeping that perspective and in the hindsight, like, because you are gonna grow, and you know, maybe one day we'll be selling out arenas, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like, your head could get very big at that point, but you always remember just how fortunate you are to be getting to do something you love so much for a living, you know, and have this team built around you. And we have people around us too, you know, that have known us for years, and when we were doing that, you know, playing to five people, and it's like, those people will always remind you, you know, and kind of keep you in check. And I think that's a good headspace to always live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's an active thing for people. I think you do have to keep an eye on that part of yourself.
Yeah, keep your ego in check.
Yeah.
Why do y'all think country music artists are down to earth? I've got a friend who works here at the arena, and he says the Drake crowd, the Beyonce crowd, even their management can be quite arrogant, but the team here, whether it's the accounting department, those who just work in various parts of the arena, always say that the country music artists are so great to work with, down to earth, humble. Why do you think that is, as compared to the rap crowd?
I think that's true. I've seen that personally too. Like, the country community is awesome, and there's been a few other genres that I love the music, but they're not as interested in the community aspect. I think there's a few things. I think that one is the way that country music, most of it comes out of Nashville, like as far as on a massive scale, like the music business side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an aspect where it takes a lot of time. Like most guys, like Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw, Keith, like everyone's stories kind of all are like, I was working a job, I started songwriting, I started playing in bars in Nashville, and you learned early on that you have to be good to people. You have to become, because if you want to tour with this person, or if you want to play for this person, or if you want to get your song, even whatever, you have to have relationships. You have to get to know people. You have to, and it's a small town, and everyone knows everyone. It's not the smallest of towns, but really in the industry, word spreads fast, and it's just a community. And so there's that aspect of it, of you, good people help good people, and you see that, like, we've gone out on tours and seen that, just the way that you treat people, that comes back to you. And then also, you're not as young. Like, I think sometimes other genres, it happens very fast, very young. So they're in high school, or they're, you know, and then all of a sudden they have a private jet.
Yeah.
Where in country music, that's generally not the formula. But I think it just comes back. I think that country music has always had the community thing going. I mean, going all the way back to the Grand Ole Opry, you know, it's like there's literally a place where all these artists tour all the country, but they all come together in the mother church and hang out and sing together and collaborate. There's always been a community thing. And so because of that, it's like when that's the foundation of your genre, is everyone comes to the Grand Ole Opry and like sings together and collaborates and is happy to see each other. It kind of just, it's a tradition that's always stayed, and it kind of just, you don't even realize it, but it just influences all of us. And so
it's funny you say that, because that's how they used to, I just had a thought in the middle of that. It's how they used to tour. You know, they would have 8 artists touring together, and each would play 2 or 3 songs.
They'd hop up with each other.
Yeah.
And we also, I feel like country tours a lot. Like, we stay really busy, and like, we have to be around each other a lot. So why not be happy and be fun with each other, you know?
Yeah. Probably also, we come from a down-to-earth part of the world where people are laid back, and it's like a faith probably kind of goes into that a bit. And that leads to my next of 2 last questions. Does faith influence your music in any way? Did y'all grow up in the church or?
Yeah, I think that, we all grew up in the South. We grew up in like the Bible Belt of the United States. So I think there is an aspect of that culturally that's kind of instilled in all of us, which are good. You know, I think there's a lot of good values in the South and a lot of good values in the Bible Belt. But yeah, we also are all like, quote, men of faith. Like, we all actually believe in that and believe in God and fall in line with that. And I think that the biggest thing that I think that it plays into, it somewhat plays into our lyric content. I think the biggest thing that it plays into is just the way that we treat people. Like, we believe in being kind to people. We believe in doing them to others as you want done to you. We believe in taking care of people. And I think that we try and like show our faith through that, just being kind to people and loving people the way that we believe that the God that we believe in loves people. And so I think that it takes part in our music, but it also, I think more than anything, takes a role in our daily lives.
It's our culture.
Treat people.
Great. Well, thank y'all for your time, and this is great. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Awesome. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.